This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
Big news coming from the Economic Development Corporation involving ADM and a brand new company that is coming to town. They're going to build a you talk about agri-technology. It's absolutely fascinating to me. You talk about animal feed and insect feed and this entire thing. You can check it out at Nauticator.com. We'll have Nicole Bateman with us a little bit later in the program at 8 o'clock, but they're literally going to build the world's largest, right here in Decatur, Illinois, a French company coming to central Illinois, more specifically Decatur, Illinois, working hand-in-hand with ADM and hundreds of jobs in construction and everything else. Great news. We'll talk to Nicole 1 hour from now, but you can check out the information at Nauticator.com. Congratulations to Chris Cuddy and all those folks at ADM. I know the governor is in that story, the mayor of Decatur, Julie Moore Wolf. So up Nauticator.com, check it out. Paul Osborne joins us. He is the former mayor of Decatur, the City Hall insider and publisher of the Decatur Tribune. Paul, it's been a year where we're not talking a lot about economic development or good news and, on a lot of fronts, but people are still diligently working behind the scenes to do the things that we do.
Well, that's really good news, and it's news that we needed here. And this would be really good news in times when there wasn't a pandemic going on. So, yeah, congratulations to all responsible for this. This is something big time to look forward to as the city continues to develop. And as you indicate, there hasn't been a lot of activity that way that we've heard about, but there's been a lot going on to cause this kind of announcement to be made. And that's just great news for Decatur in the area.
Yeah, the world's largest insect protein production site. I don't even know what that means. I mean, I have a little bit of understanding. We'll find out from Nicole a little bit later today. But this economic gardening thing, you know, this idea of you've got ADM sitting right here in the middle of Decatur, Illinois, and all of the stuff that is around that, you know, that makes sense for perhaps building a site, you know, coming to Decatur, you know, these are the things that make the most sense when you're talking about growing and creating jobs, is you start with the industries that are already here and you see what is in their worldview.
Well, that's really an important point, and it's one that, you know, that I learned early, especially after I became mayor, that you really concentrate on what you have and what you can grow from what you have. And certainly ADM is a great example of that. And we have to focus on what this community does best. And I think this is a perfect example of this community is a great fit for what is going to happen. And I don't fully understand it either, but I do understand it's a really good thing for Decatur.
Well, and it's going to create 280 direct and 400 indirect jobs just in the construction phase of this through two phases. So we'll get to the details a little later today with Nicole Bateman. I just wanted to share you that that's up at Nauticator.com. You can check it out. All right, let's talk about Monday night's city council meeting. I'm not sure that Bill Faber's voted for anything, it seems to me, in his entire council career. But he and Rodney Walker were the only no votes to putting some teeth to masking here in the city limits. I thought this had to be done. I thought the governor couldn't be more clear, the Dr. Nzike couldn't be more clear, is that we've put all of this in place. It is up to local leaders to lead. And I know it's not popular. I get that. And I know there's a lot of people. I mean, we had people showing up Monday night talking about re-education camps and all kinds of nonsense. But why can't we be unified even on this when it comes to the council?
Well, yeah. And I think in this case here, I'll really have to commend Councilman David Horn. I mean, he certainly supported the mayor's position, and he left no doubt about where he stood on this. He had a set of facts that that he presented, and he saw this as something that had to be done for the health and welfare of the community. And I think that's what you want as a mayor. You want council people to support something, and especially something like this, where the number one consideration is the health of our community. And sometimes, you know, we say and we hear, well, we try to be fair to everybody. I don't think in a pandemic that we're going through, you can try to balance out and be fair to everybody. Because when you do the right thing, there are going to be some people it's not going to be as fair to as other people. Some businesses that will it will not be as fair to. But I really applaud the decision. I think when I was talking, we were talking last week that I mentioned something more stringent had to be done because people weren't paying attention and the numbers were going up. And already I have seen some signs go up with the phrase on it, you know, wearing a mask and that, mask required as per city ordinance. So I think it also gives these businesses some teeth in telling people and demanding from people that, you know, you wear a mask when you're in here. You practice what the council has prescribed or there will be a fine, and they're going to fine us if you don't do that. So it's not just like, will you please wear a mask? It's now we have to do this. And so I think it gives them a little more backing, too, the businesses that are doing it the right way.
Yeah, I totally agree. Here's the thing, Councilman Horn, the point he made that resonated with me, is that if we have truly been issuing thousands of fines to people for their weeds getting too long during this pandemic, and it's not that that's not important, but what will that cause, Paul? Rodent infestation? Somebody might get bit and get a disease? For crying out loud, if we're writing tickets for that, why would we not be enforcing this?
Yeah, very strong point. Yeah, if you're, it seems like if a community's more concerned about the height of grass and doing something about that, you know, here we're dealing with something that's much more important. I'm not saying that what they're doing with the height of grass or anything like that in someone's yard isn't important, but it goes way down the priority list as to what we need to be doing right now with a problem facing us right now. So
yeah, but more importantly, there's no controversy on the council or a split vote on writing tickets for growing grass.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think we're getting to the point now, and I even though it wasn't a unanimous vote, I was really proud of the city and certainly the mayor. I just felt something had to be done because after begging and pleading for months for people to do the right thing and wear a mask and wash your hands frequently and social distance yourself, I saw so many people just going into stores and going into places to pick up food, you know, without a mask and without a thought of ever wearing a mask. And so now there's something with teeth in it. Now it's, and I also thought it was a good idea to reduce the fine, to cut it in half. I thought that was a little high. You know, it shows you're serious, but
yeah.
You still pay a fine if it comes to that. But
Paul, I would respectfully disagree with you on that. I thought when Wendy Morthland listed the fines about what we were talking about in these other areas, and they were $150, $250, $25 doesn't seem like – I mean, I think people will justify in their mind, well, if I get caught this one time, it's $25. I thought that watered it down a little bit.
Well, we can disagree on that. I just I think for $25 for someone that – saying, I'm independent, I'm not going to wear a mask. Well, yeah, well, $25, you're being fined for something that you say you have a right to do, not wear a mask. I think the important part here is not even the fine. It's the message now that's being sent that if you're going to a place and not wearing a mask, if you're around people and you're not wearing a mask, this is saying that's wrong. You know, and you'll be fined for that. You're doing something wrong in our community. And it's not a matter of choice anymore. We're saying this has to be done to protect others.
Yeah, you know, we'll see. I don't know if it's going to get through because, in my opinion, the President of the United States of America has been so wrong on this to use this as a political weapon in an election year when he could have saved lives by not making this political. He could have led by example. He didn't. It's proven to be all too many. And if you look at rural counties, you look at the red counties versus the blue counties, death rates are higher. I mean, you know, there was a built-in excuse for a lot of people looking for an excuse to just not do the right thing.
Yeah, and I think, as I mentioned earlier, too, since that ordinance was passed, I've seen offices that had, you know, that were open that really had no signage at all on them. They have signs on them now, and those signs in the wording saying mask required, no service without mask, as per city ordinance. And I think now it gives you know, a store owner or someone who's running an office, it gives them more backing when they're saying, hey.
Yes, I agree with that. Yeah. I really do. I think these stores have missed the point, though, the particular ones you're talking about, that they didn't take their own customers' health seriously. And I think the messaging is very important here. I really do. There have been a number of restaurants that said, nope, we're going to defy the governor's order. We're going to stay open. And I don't think they realize, yeah, they're going to make the noisy minority happy. I don't think they realize the message they have sent to the majority of people who are not arguing on Facebook, but go, yep, you know what? When I choose the next place to go, it's not going to be there.
Yeah, and I've done that. One place I went into several months ago, I went into it twice, and the person wasn't even wearing a mask, you know, that was serving the food. So I just excused myself and left. I went back and tried it again. It's the same thing.
Yep.
And I just let them know. I haven't been back since. And I think you make it a point. And I've commended the places where I've picked up food, you know, to bring back to the office or something. And I've told these people that I really appreciate the safety precautions you're taking. And I've walked into a place to pick up food, and everyone in there had their mask on. Everyone serving the food, they had the table separated back at the last time I went in. Anytime I see that, and I don't go to a lot of places, I don't dine in or anything, but I let those people know that I support them and I appreciate what we're doing. And that's what we should encourage those people who are doing the right thing.
Absolutely. And I want to be fair about this, because if you take any sort of stance on science, you get turned into one side or the other. But I also think it sends a message for these businesses to say, look, we weren't going to do this until it was going to cost money out of our pocket, not your safety, our pocket. So now we're looking at a fine, so we're going to do the right thing. There's messaging being sent there as well.
Yeah, and I think that's that gives support to these businesses, and especially those that are doing the right thing. And if people, you know, get upset over this, you know, the business owner says, this is what we've always practiced, but now we have to practice this. We don't want to get fined. We don't want to get closed down. So if you support us, you need to support this this ordinance too.
Let's talk a little bit about city council. We've got three seats that are going to be up. You wrote in your column yesterday, you talked to Marty Watkins, who has been a guy seeking office for quite some time, unsuccessfully. He said he was going to run again. We know we have Ed Culp in the race. We know we have David Horn and Chuck Kuehl in the race. You also talked about Adolphus Cooper, Elijah England, and Will Wetzel. So it's starting to shape up. I know there's some still time to turn in petitions, but we're getting at least an initial look at what this council race is going to look like.
Yeah, and I think the deadline is next Monday at 5 p.m. You still have until then to file. So at the close of day next Monday, we'll know how many people are going to be on the ballot, how many people are running, and it'll be interesting to see. I think there will be others. I've had some feelers put out from others saying that they were thinking about it, and what do you think about this? And don't use my name yet because I'm not sure. But I don't know. I think the thing that troubles me sometimes when I hear some of the reasons expressed why people want to run for council, that I wonder, do you really know what the council person's job is? I think they throw things out there that, you know, they're going to change the corrupt government. You know, I've heard that statement. Well, there's nothing corrupt about this government. I mean, what do you see that's corrupt? Or the people on council are serving their millionaire friends downtown. I don't know too many millionaire friends downtown. I don't. These are mostly, couples and individuals who are struggling to keep their businesses going. They're the kind of people we want downtown. If they're millionaires, they don't act like it because they're really being impacted. And so what? If they are millionaires, we need to do the right thing for all people. And we forget about that at times. But I just want people who are thinking about running for council to kind of search their soul and see the true reason that they really want to run. Is it a selfish reason, or is it resentment of someone, or they just would like to be a council member? I mean, this is an important position in our community, and take it very seriously, because once you're behind that that desk, if you're elected, then you'll see a lot of things then that you don't see now. And you'll see a lot of reasons why things happen the way they do that you don't see now from the outside. And I covered city government for many years before I was elected mayor, and I can tell you, once you get on the other side and see what's really going on and what you can and can't do, it's different.
It's a different proposition altogether. You know, and in the years of doing this show, you know, going on 25 years, you know, the people who run for office on a negative, meaning I'm mad about this, so I'm running, their success rate's not very high.
No. And a person is running for on one issue, upset about one thing. If they do happen to get elected, and it doesn't happen very often, I think usually they find out very fast, you know, that there's much more than that one issue. And even the one issue they were so upset about, there are really logical reasons why that couldn't be resolved the way they wanted to. They either get they aren't interested in anything else, and so they serve one term and they're gone, or they find out and get educated in a hurry that, hey, this is way bigger than I thought it was.
I know you you threw a shout out to the IBEW Local 146 for the Christmas lights in and around downtown Decatur. I completely agree with you. I think it's an amazing job they do every year. The first day I drove in and saw that, I just like, oh, great. I mean, that was just like a needed lift this year more than ever.
Yeah, both of us get here really pretty early, and it's dark, you know, when you come to work for the most part. And in my case here, to get on my car and look all the way up Water Street and see all those lights, yeah, it's a lift in a year where there hasn't been a lot of lifts. But I think you look around the community, there's so many good things to be thankful for, too, that this has hit us, and it's hit us hard, but maybe it should make us appreciate, you know, all the things that we do have and all the blessings that we have in this community and living in Decatur and living in Central Illinois, and give us more time to reflect and contemplate the future.
Paul, as always, it is a pleasure. Please stay safe, stay healthy. We'll talk to you next Thursday. Paul Osborne, the City Hall Insider. You can read his column at DecaturTribune.com, and we'll have more on those council races as we continue.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit NewhoffMedia.com.